Well, okay. Let's just do this because it just needs to be done. It's News According to Me. It is morning. It is Wednesday morning, the 25th of May at 7:11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2022. Apparently yesterday there was there's some sad news down in Texas. It's still very ambiguous about what happened here. There's very little reporting on actually what happened here. I've tried to search the interwebs. I was traveling yesterday quite a bit. Got in late last night, just basically saw a blurb about the shooting, and then I was just on the road all day. Didn't have a chance to really hear much about it, and there wasn't much on the news on the radio. At least not where I was trying. The areas I was driving through, I was trying to listen to some things and trying to pick up stuff on the internet. Couldn't really find anything about it. And of course, immediately the rhetoric again. They're ramping up the idea of gun control. Gun laws, taking on the gun lobby. Biden's coming out right away, minutes after the shooting, talking about going after guns. Now, there's some questions I have about this whole thing. Why is there nobody's talking? I'm not saying there's a conspiracy here. I'm just saying there's nobody talking about what actually happened here, at least not that I can find. Maybe we'll find out more throughout the day. Maybe they're just trying to piece together all of what happened here. I heard an interview of the lieutenant governor of Texas talking about it, and apparently there was a chase involved in this whole thing. I don't know if the shooter came off the street, came into the school, if there was something happening before this event or if it was after the event. It's just, to me, it's remarkable as to how little they know about it, or at least what the reporting of it. Which makes me wonder, there's a little bit of a report here. Still, Amero. They're just talking about this is a fourth grader. They don't say anything about who the person is. Oh, here he is. Salvador Ramos. 18, messaged a woman in Los Angeles on May 12th. I'm just looking at some pictures of this guy. This looks like a very disturbed individual. That's all I'm going to say. A former FBI agent, on one interview I was listening to, says this guy was a flashing red light. Someone should have noticed. Of course, this happened at a grade school, so obviously it wasn't a grade schooler that committed the crime. Some kid didn't just go to school one day with a gun. A gun-free zone, by the way. These are gun-free zones. And then decide to shoot his classmates. This is a very disturbed individual who went into a school and just began shooting it up. Now, they're not talking much about this other than the gun issue. Now, you realize the gun, obviously, there's millions of guns in this country. They don't go into schools and shoot everybody up all the time. We have a problem with our culture. And I'll tell you what, this guy, however, whatever, this disturbed individual. And you can tell, I can tell you right now just by looking at this person that they're disturbed. They have issues, problems. I'm sorry, I'm looking at some things here. Yeah, here's what bothers me about this whole thing. Right now, if gun laws had been enforced, if the laws that were on the books had been enforced, this would not have happened. And this is where they don't want to go with this. What they want to do is introduce new gun laws that affect the rest of us that would not have stopped this anyway. It's almost by design that they want to do this kind of thing. And I don't think that they actually think that far. I just don't think they're that smart. I think they like to capitalize on a crisis like this, on an event. They don't think anything through. They have no critical thinking skills. They have no self-awareness. These individuals are just run completely purely on emotion. 99% emotion and 1% just stupidity. And I'm just going to be frank with you. This is the way it works. Here's what they're thinking. We're going to use this to get gun laws, to get these guns off the streets. They don't want guns at all. That's not going to work, folks. It's just not going to work. The only societies that have had that happen, look what happened to the lockdowns in the countries that have taken away guns. You saw outright tyranny. Look what's going on in China right now. And we're borderline here. I mean, we complied, but it was one of those things where other countries went even more nuts on this stuff. Now, hear me out on this. They will use this to get gun laws passed. Or try to. And in the process, they will also push forward with other legislation. While this is a big issue, they're going to try to get it pushed through. Now, it won't change anything. And there will be another shooting, another mass shooting, another tragic event. And they'll use that to go even further. They never look back to say, well, the laws we passed didn't work. Didn't stop the school shootings. Didn't stop the mass shootings. Didn't stop these tragedies from happening. We have to recognize, and this is something that I think we as a nation have to face, and we as Christians have to face. We can't just go to our church, think about ourselves, have a little bit of concern about, other people, live our little lives in our little quiet spaces, and be done with it. We just can't do that anymore. We have to stand up and be the church and speak the truth. We have to call out false doctrines of demons, ridiculous philosophies, and this false sense of morality that we seem to be getting pushed on us every day. We have a cultural problem. We have a nation in cultural decline. The gun laws are not going to stop that. When you examine what's going on, the more the woke leftist agenda presses forward, It's the very people that they are pushing and recruiting into this kind of mentality. And this is the result of the seeds that were planted by this whole leftist ideology stuff. I mean, are we willing to look back 50 years and say, okay, kids could carry guns to school? We had kids during hunting season, still do some in some parts of this country. During hunting season, you could have a pickup truck with guns, a gun rack on your truck, in the back window of your truck. You'd go hunting before school, and after school you'd go hunting again. Because that's what we did. We didn't go in and shoot up the school. We had Bible classes in school when I was a kid. Public school. We had Bible classes. I did not know this, but we still have Bible classes, or still did a few years ago. I don't know if it's still that way or not. The high school that I went to actually was still doing Bible classes. Public school. They were voluntary, weren't mandatory. They were always voluntary. When I was growing up, it was always a voluntary thing. In fact, when I went in grade school, even when I went to in grade school back way back then, I did have parents' permission slip to go to it. But we cannot just continue to think that we're just going to be in the four walls of our little church on Sunday mornings, and that's going to make a difference in the culture outside. It's just not going to happen. I mean, it will, because just to some degree it does. And here's, because going to church on Sunday morning will affect the inside of you, hopefully. And as you step out of those four walls, hopefully that affects people around you, hopefully. But just the religious pomp and circumstance and the feeling good about ourselves that we get from going to church on Sunday morning if we walk out without a presence of God on us, we're just nice people. That's about it. We're not affecting the culture around us. It's affecting us. It's got to go one way or the other. I'm afraid that the culture is affecting the church now more than the church is affecting the culture. I'm sorry to dive into such a serious thing right off the bat. No, I'm not. I'm not sorry about it. But I do feel a bit heavy-hearted about having to do it. Let's talk a little bit about election stuff and primaries. We have, Marjorie Taylor Greene. She won in her district. Barely, she won. And who's this other candidate here? Is it Herschel Walker? Herschel Walker also won, yes, in the primary. These are all, and here's what's funny is it. Stuart Barney, I just saw this report by Black Conservative Patriot, BCP, Open Source News, the real BCP, I think it is. He had a story yesterday about how this interview with Stuart Barney, with President Trump, had him on a phone interview. Calls him up and he says, "How do you feel about potentially losing?" I guess there's somebody running against Kemp, I think, in Georgia, and it's not doing well. I can't think of the guy's name. I'll see if I can find it here anywhere. Yeah, I don't see it. Whoever's running against Kemp, anyway. So he starts in with this whole thing. It looks like you're losing there. Like your endorsement isn't doing any good. And you got to hand it to Trump. He still has his typical way of speaking. It's a little bit, I'm not sure if he's guarded or if he just is, it's just the way he has always communicated. You have to understand how he communicates, how he speaks. He basically said, well, you know, we won this one, we won that one. Basically, out of 90 candidates right now, he's 87-3 for winning primaries for endorsements. Now, I don't know that endorsements make that much of a difference. I really don't know that endorsements really matter. I think in this case, I think that it could be said that they probably do make quite a difference. Now, I've never voted for anybody based on somebody's endorsement. That's never happened for me. I've never been swayed by that. I don't know if the general public who doesn't really pay attention to what's going on in the news, maybe they are. I don't know. Maybe if you're a huge fan of some movie star or singer and they come out and endorse somebody, maybe that would sway you because you feel like you're part of that crowd. You're part of the movement. I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with it. But I've never been swayed that way. I guess I don't give it much credibility, but maybe there is more credibility to it. I don't know. Now, however, in Trump's case, there is a definite following of the guy, and you know he endorsed Dr. Oz, which was kind of odd. I think there was more going on there. I think the guy who actually I think is going to end up winning is not going to be Dr. Oz, and I don't know if he knows more about the situation there. And basically, it's because he's probably more establishment. The guy who actually looks like he's going to win by a percentage point or something. I don't know what's going on there, but Trump's probably got an inside story. He does tend to be a little bit, if you poke at him, he'll punch back. Anyway, so it was interesting that they tried. And then, of course, now what happened was in this particular segment that was this interview with Stuart Barney, it's gone. So Fox pulled it. Stewart wanted, he said, you know, I'm talking to GOP, to Republicans, and they're all saying that they want to move forward. They don't want to look back at the past election. They want to move forward. Now, who do you think these Republicans are that Stuart Barney's talking to? You think they're, you know, the average Joe on the street? He's out in the restaurant having breakfast, and he's talking to folks from America, you know, the people who actually go out and work for a living. Do you think he's talking to those people? He wasn't talking to me. I don't know. I don't work for a living. So I don't. He wasn't talking to me, and he wasn't talking to, you know, probably anybody other than the establishment people around him. They want to move forward. They don't want to go look back at this. Well, sure, they don't look back at it because they were probably part of the cover-up. They were part of just getting it over with. And, of course, Trump, in his own way, said, he didn't say it this way, but he tried to say it. Those who fail to learn about history are doomed to repeat it, or learn from history are doomed to repeat it. He's basically saying, yeah, we have to look back at what happened. We have to look back because we can't move forward in the future unless we look back at what happened, and so it doesn't happen again, basically is what he's saying. And I agree with that. With this, it's amazing to me that everything that's coming out in the Sussman trial now, which let's just transition to that for a moment. This show is not going to be very long, by the way. I've got I've got to get out the door this morning, and I end up in Peoria, Illinois tonight. Come back tomorrow. So the interesting thing about this is the Sussman defense, if you want to call it that, is basically that the FBI screwed up. When Sussman came to the FBI and he had this material, it's their fault for not vetting him. Basically, they're saying, it's your fault for believing me. They're saying, well, we had no idea that he was acting on behalf of a political candidate, that the Hillary campaign paid for this information. They had no idea of that. Therefore, they can't be blamed. If they had known that, they wouldn't have done this. Oh, that's not an excuse. They wouldn't have gone through with the investigation. They had a field operation going on. They went to another country and actually went through the bank records data to see if there was actually a link between the servers and this email address or web address, domain name, and this bank in Russia. They actually went and checked it out. Couldn't find any communication. In fact, it was a one-way, it was a junk mail box is what it was. And it wasn't even actually owned by Trump. They're saying it was owned by Trump. It was a client. This company that owned it, actually owned it, Trump was a client of theirs. They were doing work on his behalf, promotional work. Now, this is what happens when you get a big company, you find somebody, a marketing firm, a promotional company. They can go out there and you can get some domain. They'll get domain names for you and they charge you for all this stuff. So yeah, he paid for those things because they charge you for it. And then they use this stuff to send out junk mail, junk email that you can't reply to. There's no reply. You can't. It's a one-way email. It's called a spam mail account. And they just send it out. And they have all these other domain names in the wings so that when that one gets canceled or when you try to stop it or unsubscribe to it, they just assign the next one. And you keep getting them. And every time you unsubscribe, they know, well, it's actually a person. That's not just a bot. We know we've got a real live one here. We actually have a live email person here. Because you can see that. I used to send out emails all the time. I had a little thing I used to do, and I used to send out, people had to sign up for the emails. So I didn't just go get a list and start randomly emailing people. But I had a list of people who joined the email list. And I could tell when I would send out emails, I would send out a broadcast of something I was going to do. I did something every day, and I would send out an email right before I did it online. And so I would send this email out, and from right before my show, and I could tell who opened the email, who deleted the email without opening it, and who clicked on any links within the email, and what links they clicked on. You can tell all kinds of things that way. It's just, you know, What is it? MailChimp or whatever it is. That's what I was using at the time. This was years ago. I'm sure it's more sophisticated now. I could tell exactly what was going on. So it was. There's no. That's all this was, and they used this information. They probably had an insider at this marketing firm. I wouldn't doubt that. Paid somebody off. So it's interesting how this all plays out. But basically, the defense is, well, sure, I lied to you, or I didn't tell you all this, but you should have known, or you shouldn't have believed me. That's kind of what their defense is. Yeah, I committed a crime. I lied to you, but you shouldn't have believed me. that's their defense. Now, in the meantime, it makes the FBI look really stupid. Now, anybody who has half a brain knows that the FBI was probably involved in this. This is getting razor thin. There's a razor thin line here between incompetence and compliance, culpability. And we'll see how this all unfolds here in the next few days, but I have the feeling there's a bombshell about to be dropped by the nearing the end of this thing. I don't think they pulled out the big cannons at the beginning. Let's just put it that way. I think Durham is just getting started, and I don't know. I'm not sure I trust Durham just because of who appointed him. That's my big problem with Durham. I just don't know what the motive is here. We'll see. That's my opinion of this whole thing. We'll see what happens here. I have the feeling that the Republican establishment has plans in this process, and I just don't trust anything here. That's just my gut feeling, and maybe I'm just paranoid because of everything I've seen so far. Maybe Durham's an upright guy. Maybe the right thing will happen. I just don't trust the judges involved. Even if Durham is an upright guy, and does a meticulous job and lays it all out for us, I don't believe that the powers that be, the judiciary process, will execute justice properly. I'm not sure I've trusted enough. Sorry. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I've run out of time this morning. I've got the door in 20 minutes, and I don't know how that's going to happen because I haven't even taken a shower. So it takes me 20 minutes just to take a shower. It's going to be a real interesting morning here trying to catch this flight. Once again, thanks for being with me. Thanks for listening. I'm out of here. Let's continue to pray for the nation. Pray for those folks that lost their children in a horrific, tragic, needless way. And for anybody else out there who is like this young man who did this, pray for those people and try to get them some help. God bless everybody. Keep praying for our nation. Have a great day. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.